Yeah. All right, so I get to teach today. But I'm not sure where to stand. Alrighty, this will work. With my little man here. You gonna help me? You gonna pray for me? Yeah? All right, well, Lord, we just, we thank you for what you're doing here today. And Lord, we just invite you to open up our ears, our hearts, and we invite our spirits to listen to your spirit, to the spirit of God, as we sit here and learn from you what you have to teach today. In Jesus' name. All right. Has anyone seen a miracle this week? Any miracles? No? Yeah? What? What was the miracle? Awesome, a grandson over 100 days sober. Awesome. Cool. Well, what I want to share today is a little bit just of where I'm at and what the Lord's been teaching me and just some of the things that I am, that he's been showing me and I'm working on in my life with the Lord. And it started probably, it's been a few months now actually, I've been on this journey, but Catherine touched on it when she spoke. Was it last month or the month before? May. It was May. And, you know, she said, we were meant to walk on water. And that's been my journey with the Lord the last few, actually, it might have been a year, but really intense the last few weeks or months. I just have an unsettledness in me, in that there's more. I grew up in the church. I was in YWAM for many years. I've always been in ministry, and but just the last few months or year or so, it's just been this. I work full time, and I go to the office, and I see these people, and I'm like, why don't they sense the Lord when I walk into the room? Because he's in me. Why am I not seeing miracles? Why am I not walking on water? And so that's just some of the struggle that I'm going through and still am with the Lord. It's a work in progress. But I want to share with you some of the things that he's been showing me. So I want to start out actually with a quote that I just heard. Bill Johnson, they had a conference at Bethel, and I just listened to one teaching online. And this is what he said, and it really resonated with me in just this, it's hard to describe, but it's just this unsettledness in my spirit. He says, Jesus is returning. He is. But the hope of the world is not in the return of Jesus, but in the power of the unadulterated gospel declared from a people who are unafraid of the consequences. It is truth and it changes a life. Without power, it is not good news. It is something we become a part of because the actual spirit that raised Jesus from the dead took up residence in us and did so with the purpose of demonstrating the power of the resurrection as we confront the impossibilities of life. This is the assignment of every believer. We were created with an appetite to see the impossibilities of life bend their knee at the name of Jesus through our lips. It's in the DNA of every believer. It's what we were born for. And I truly believe that. And I believe, like Catherine said, we were meant to walk on water. And I believe that there's, in this age right now that we're in, there's just a lot going on in this world. But I believe this is where the Lord's taking us and what we need to be. We need to be who he created us to be for the world to see who he really is. And for me, my struggle has often been, I'm very much into performance. Performance Christianity. What do I do? What do I do next? How many steps do I need to accomplish this? And while sometimes there are steps, absolutely, I'm not saying there aren't, but for me, that's where I go to first. It's always been, what do I do? Do I need to fast? And so when I started feeling this unsettledness in my spirit, just with this life of mediocrity, you know, that was my first thought, was, what do I do? And actually, what the Lord showed me was not doing, well, it is one thing, but there's only one thing that we need to do. So I want to go to the scripture and look at a couple passages in particular. And I typed them out because I can't read my Bible without my glasses right now. So I thought I would just write, type them out. It makes it easier for me. So John 14, 12 through 24. And you can, we're just going to stay in John 14 and a little bit in 15. So starting at 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, and also greater works than these, he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the Passion Translation right here says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands, which is really cool, and a whole different teaching for another day. And so then we go on to, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And then I want to jump to John 15, 4 through 11. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And then here the Passion says, I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from you, but when you live separated from me, you are powerless. So verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withers, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, that you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you, that my joy may remain in you, and your joy may be full. And so, there's a lot. I know John's been going through John, and so I'm jumping ahead, but in these two chapters, I mean, alone is a lot, and I'm just going to focus in on just one aspect. But I find it interesting that in John, I feel like here is where we start to see a shift. Up until this point, Jesus told his disciples to follow him. Follow me. And here is where Jesus starts, there's a shift, and he says, abide in me. So I believe this is where a real change, this is where there's just a shift happens, where we know that this was before Jesus was crucified and resurrected. They didn't at that point. They probably had a hint, but there's just this shift that happens right here. It's no longer this following Jesus. It's a shift into abiding in him. And I feel like here is where he's opening up. Jesus is opening himself up to us. All of his divineness, his fullness and life and love. And this is where we get to abide in him and become holy one with him. And so, again, we see here, you know, we've talked a lot about in the Old Covenant where God would visit, God would leave. God would visit, God would leave. Here's where we really start to see the shift to the abiding. God in us, we're in Christ. And so I took and this is what the Lord really showed me, and this is why I said this is the one thing that we need to do, is to abide in Christ. I believe that's the only thing that we need to do. Because if we do that, everything else it'll take care of itself. God will take care of it. And this is the only thing that we need to do, because if we are truly in Christ and abiding in him, then yeah, we will keep his commandments. We don't have to work at anything because we are in Christ. And so I looked a little bit into the word abide. And it's a verb, which actually usually is a verb, often is an action or a state of being, which implies movement, which is exactly what Kirsten said last week. There's something that you have to do. There's a movement to abiding. You have to step into the Lord. It's a moving thing. But abide also means to remain, in reference to a place, to sojourn, to tarry, to not depart, to continue to be present, to be held, kept continually, to remain as one, not become another or different, to await for. And so what's interesting is that God tells us to abide in him first. So we abide in him, then he abides in us. And I don't understand all of this yet, but it's a reciprocal thing. And we may not fully grasp all of this. I don't know. Maybe we will. Some of you may already have it. But I feel like there's a lot in the kingdom that has these, I call it attention, because I feel like sometimes our natural minds don't follow the kingdom. And I believe the more we spend time with the Lord, obviously, the more these, you know, he will open up these things to us and we'll see and have more clarity. But yeah, there's a lot in here. And so again, it's not about us pursuing his presence, because we're in him. So we don't have to pursue his presence. And Rich has taught this for many years. You know, we don't need to go to another conference and wait for a portal to open. We don't need to pray for him to come, because he is here. I'm in him and he's in me. And so it's not about what we do to attract the presence of God. It's more about what he's doing to keep us in his presence. And Graham Cook used to talk about learning to not pray like a widow, but pray like a bride. And I never understood that. I was like, I have no idea what he's talking about. It just never clicked. But as the Lord has me on this journey of abiding in him, it's clicking, because yes, I don't need to pray for him to come. I just need to step into his presence. It's that simple. I don't need to pray for the heavens to open, because Jesus is the door. It's open. Now, obviously, there are times where we do feel his presence a lot more stronger, especially when we come together. But it's a mind shift for me anyway, and I'm finally getting it, which is fun. And so me in Christ is getting used to a level of favor and presence and wisdom, because that's what he has. And life in God is not, again, it's not about an encounter. It's a lifestyle. And my lifestyle in Christ should be routine. That should be my routine. It should be routine that I see healings. It should be routine that people that we see miracles, salvations. That's what should be routine. And I feel like I'm speaking for myself. I don't expect that on a daily basis. To me, it's like, oh, well, maybe if I see a miracle once in my lifetime, it'll be amazing. No, it should be routine. And I believe this is the place that God's taking us to, is where we are in this routine and that we live a life of astonishment, because that's who Jesus is. So should we. You know, Noah, a few months ago, and that's kind of what kind of sparked some of this in me was, I don't know what we were talking about. I don't think we were talking about anything, but he just looked at me and he goes, Mama, you need to think more about Jesus when you're at work. And I was like, and that's really what started this. I was like, you're right, because I get in my car and that's my, you know, I spend a good hour on each way, but in the morning, it's my quiet time. Or I'll listen to a teaching or some music, but I just commune with the Lord. And that's where, for me, I step into the Lord. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm stepping into you this morning and abiding with you, and that's my time with him. But then when I get to the office and I get on my computer, bam, I am focused on my work. And so that's been the challenge for me. That's why the Lord started stirring this up of, well, you need to learn to continue to abide in me throughout the day. It's not just in my quiet time. It's not just in worship. It's all day. And we can't be in Jesus and be underwhelmed, right? I mean, because if we truly think about him and his glory and who he is, we can't be underwhelmed. And I believe that's one key as to why that's what the world needs. They need us to be overwhelmed by Jesus, which is what he planned all along, is that we are so overwhelmed by him that then, like Kirsten, I think Kirsten said this last week too, we just spill out. And Rich has talked about this. You know, we've all talked about it, where we just spill out. I mean, it's like, I should be seeing the Lord move, and part of it probably is my own, you know, decision not to pray for someone when they need prayer, but still, it's, the world needs us. The world needs Christians who are sold out and so in love and in Christ that we are just overwhelmed by him, and it spills out and they see it. And so the role, John 16:13, the role of the Holy Spirit is to open me up to the realities of who I am and all that's available to me in Christ. And I didn't write that scripture out, so it's John 16:13, if you want to look at it. But all this is in Jesus, all this that's in Jesus, everything that's in him is in me. We're a joint heir. Holy Spirit teaches us how to become that. And it's not always overnight. Sometimes things do happen overnight. Sometimes we have to work it out. There's a process of maturity in the kingdom. But the full weight of who Jesus is must become known to us. The full weight of who he is must become known to us in this life. We can't be in Christ and not have favor, because Christ has favor, so we have favor. We have access to who he is and the things that he has. And as he is, so are we in this world. So we become Christ in our circumstances, and that's part of our job as evangelism. Some of it is the spoken word, absolutely. And some of it is the demonstration, laying hands. But some of it's just our lifestyle. Like I said, I feel like I should be so overwhelmed with Jesus that when I go to the office, they're like, what did you do this weekend? What, you know, or just, wow. They should sense and feel the presence of the Lord, because I am carrying him, and I'm in him and he's in me. And so when we think about Christ and the kingdom, you know, what does it look like? What's available to us? If his kingdom is in us, Jesus is in us, there's a language of heaven too. And it's a language of love. It's a language of possibility. It's a language of hope and future. It's victory and abundance. That's the life and the language that we need to learn. And some of it is through declaration. There's a time where we do declare. We can proclaim things. And there's a time of just being in Christ, being in his word. All of these things together help us abide. Ephesians 3:19, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the fullness of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The Passion Translation says, then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deep, deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you're filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Fullness is something that fills, or it's filled with a thing. It's interesting, when I looked up the word fullness, it also means of those things which a ship is filled. Freight and merchandise, sailors, oarsmen, soldiers. And so the purpose of the love of God is not just for salvation, right? God doesn't love us just to get us saved. And we're not saved just to go to heaven, which I think we all, you know, we here have all talked about it. But it's the purpose of his love is to reveal the Father and is to bring us into fullness now. Colossians 1:19 says, for God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. John 1:16, and of his fullness we have all received grace and grace for grace. So if in him all fullness dwells, then we have all fullness, at least access to it. I mean, it may take some learning. It may take a little bit of a journey. Or it may not. It's up to God and us. I mean, if I resist partnering with the Lord, then there are certain things that I may not see the fulfillment of. I mean, we have a part to play in it, in seeking him and spending time in his presence. 1 Peter 1:3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. We are joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back to fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. But as he rises up within us, our spirits join in him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. So we're heirs of God and joined heirs with Christ. That was the Passion. Romans 8, 14 to 17. And so it's interesting. We abide in him, he abides in him. In us, we are an heir and a co-heir. It's not enough. I mean, you'd think it would be enough that we would just be in Christ. But no, he wants to be in us. And not only that, we are co-heirs and co-heirs. That's how much He wants to, his love, it's amazing. And when I think about being in Christ, it's like when, and just the whole aspect of the kingdom of God, and a kingdom, you know, it has its own language, you know, God is God, but it's almost, you know, in whichever, there was one of the scriptures where it talks about God making his home with us. You know, when I'm in my home, I help myself to anything. When Noah's my child, other than candy, he can help himself to anything. There's very little that's off limits. But that's the sense to me of abiding. It's a sense of stepping into the house of the Lord. And I feel like the kingdom is so massive. It's like a long time ago we went to the parade of homes. You know, and they have these massive houses. And we just had so much fun going and exploring, you know, all these different rooms. And some of them had an elevator. It's like, really? There's an elevator in a house? And then, you know, a wine cellar. And this was before Noah, but it was just a blast just going and exploring. And I feel like to some degree, that's the kingdom of God. There are the mysteries that God wants to reveal to us. And this is a big part of it, is learning how to abide and be in him. And so I wanted to stop real quick here and just open it up, because I know I only have a little piece of this. And so I just wanted to see to you, what does abide in Christ mean? Anyone have a comment?
Sarah, this is excellent, by the way. You just said something that really hit me, and I wrote it down, not as part of the definition, just abiding as being at home.
It is. I think abiding should be comfortable most of the time. I mean, God is going to, he's faithful. He'll tell me if I need a little pruning. But it is, yeah, being at home. It's that sense of being comfortable with the Father. Anyone else?
To be in him is to be as him.
To be in him is to be as him. So if he's victory, I'm victory, right? Yeah. If he's full, I'm full. If he's life, I'm life.
Where you'd said being at home, immediately I heard we are his home. He's come to dwell within us. And that's amazing.
It is. He's our home. We're his home. There's so much in that. I'm telling you, I'm just scratching the surface here. I've just been kind of meditating on it for a few weeks now, and there's more. I mean, I really feel like this is one of those things that I feel like when we fully step into it, and I feel like I've stepped into a little bit of it, but I'm, you know, that movement of coming more and more, that's when the world is really going to see the truth.
When we get that revelation, we become the revolution.
There we go. Yep. Yeah. We become the revolution. And that truly is it, you know. I mean, Mitch has taught this for years. It's, we are, and Evan's brought it up too, we're revival. And I feel like the world, again, it's what they need.
I think about raising children, and I think about how God raised the Israelites, and the first critical piece is love. So when we know that we are loved, when we know that we are loved and we can trust that love, then we are able to do all the rest. And there can be a real problem with that, because we aren't raised up in a perfect world. We have been raised with a misunderstanding of what love really looks like. So sometimes God has to deal with those issues in our heart so that we are able to trust him. And when we're able to trust him, then we're able to believe that everything goes on comes from his hand. That's a big leap. Because when things go wrong, so everything that's good is not God, and everything that's bad is not the devil. I think we forget that. We want everything to be nice. I have a granddaughter. Her name is Kenna, K-E-N-A, and she says her name means keeping, K, everything, E, nice, N, always, A. Keeping everything nice, always. So I think if you think back to the Israelites, God taught them who he was, showed him his might, his ability to care for them before he ever laid the commandments on them. But I love what you said about, I thought I wrote it down. Loving me empowers you to keep my commandments. If we don't understand the depth of his love, we can't love him, we can't trust him. So that's probably the first step, is knowing, trusting, relying upon, depending upon the fact that he loves us.
As you describe the Parade of Homes and these big mansions and you just exploring around in them, I see us in abiding in him in this phenomenally infinite house that you can never explore all of, you know. And it continually reveals new rooms and new things about himself. And as we continue to grow, we continue to grow, we continue to grow. But the reciprocal of that is he lives in us, and we have rooms that we keep him shut out of. And he's constantly tapping on those doors. I want to take a look in there. And that's that growth process I think we all go through as he explores those places in us that need to be opened up and the room aired out and cleaned out. And Hallelujah. And then he occupies that part of our heart as well. And I think that this growth process never stops. Until we get to the other side, we're never going to be completely have every room open to him. But I think that's our goal. And what you're talking about is as we open up those rooms, as we open up those areas of our lives at work or dealing with kids or whatever's going on around us, as we open up those areas to our lives, his transformational power comes out of us to accomplish his purposes around us. And as we keep those doors shut, that inhibits that. So God, open the doors in Jesus' name.
Truman, you're good.
I've been realizing for a little while some things, and one of the things is to stop expecting the miraculous. And what I mean by that is to stop looking for Jesus for the horns to blow and the clouds to fly, and the lightning to flow, and just realize that Jesus is in you day by day as you walk continuously, always working to fill you with himself, always working to change you into what he is. And it's a constant process, which is what he was saying. It's going on, whether we're willing for it to go on or not, whether we understand it, it's always going on. And it's not going to be with the blaring of horns. It's not going to be with some great grandeur thing going off around you as if it's fantastic time right now. It's always the fantastic time right now. We're always in Christ. We're always learning.
Just a quick answer with a question, and I don't expect this to be answered now, but by all means, answer it now if you have it. But If you ever feel like you don't abide enough, what is it that keeps you from abiding? The reason why I ask that question is because we're going to be dealing with this in the next few weeks, ever. Whenever I'm up next, we're going to talk about what keeps you from this place that we're talking about. And it's going to be really good. But like, what keeps you from abiding? What keeps you from getting into that place?
I loved that question because this is what we're after. And I I just thought of all the lies that we still listen to and accept, and even the familiarity. It's not easy to get these things off. And he's really been working on my heart, and I really think he's working on the body of Christ in order for us to do what he has already said is going to happen. He wants to work on all those rooms in our heart. And I just get reminded that we all have different words that we may run to. And I, at that time when I saw the beauty of deliverance, I just wrote it out for me that it's love. And whatever you're afraid of, just keep looking at it. Because when I see my stinking thinking, he is really quick to say, do you really want to think that about that person? What's in your heart that causes you to think you can judge her for that? And it's like, I see, you're after every place in my heart. You want every door opened. And it is a beautiful process. The song that you were liking, Beautiful Messes or something. Yeah.
It's true. So the first thing for me, what the Lord spoke to was to abide in him. And then the second thing I realized, I asked the question was, okay, so what do I need to do? You know? And maybe I need to go back to declaring more. I love doing declarations, and they're good, and they help up here. But God's also spirit. And there's a spirit-to-spirit connection that is vitally important. We need both. There is a time for declarations. But for me, that's my go-to because it's something I can do. And what I felt like the Lord just... And I was actually driving at the time to the office. And I just felt like the Lord just... It was simple. It was by faith. And so by faith, I step into him. And this is just my process right now. But I feel like the key is, and like Evan said, what is stopping you? And it could be different. It could be different every day. I mean, it could be something today that is stopping me. Maybe I'm just distracted. And I'm not focused on the Lord. But he's taking me back to a real simplicity. And it's just the simple process of, by faith, stepping into him. Putting myself into him and into his kingdom. We have to possess by faith to become a reality for us on earth. And so we have to press through into that place. And we can because we're in Christ. Faith is spirit to spirit. It's not necessarily an emotion. And that was a big part of my struggle, was that I'm like, God, I just want to encounter you. I want the lightning. I want the goosebumps. I want something, you know? And that wasn't happening. And that's when the Lord said, just step in by faith. Because we can't rely on how we feel all the time. It's nice when we do feel God. It's nice when my husband buys me flowers and I feel his love. But I also feel his love when he takes out the trash, when he cooks dinner and takes care of our son and does all these other things. It may feel slightly different. It may not feel like the ooey gooey, but it's still love. And if I really think about it, yeah. And so it is, some of it is by faith. And that's where I'm at for me personally. It's a stepping in to Christ by faith. And again, it's the whole point of, we serve a king who's not of this world. And that's where, the way I word it, because I don't have any other language for it, is that's where the tension is. It's the tension between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. And we're living in this kind of place between both, where physically we've got an earth here, but we are in Christ and we're part of a kingdom. And so we have the privilege, though, of accessing what Christ has and the substance of the kingdom, again, through faith. Romans 1:7, until the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God in Christ, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So God's purpose for requiring faith is to raise our focus and our concentration above the temporal to the one who is eternal. Our faith is not in faith, but we run the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And that's, again, that's the key. It's just fixing our eyes on him. It's a yes to him. And I really believe that's what a big part of what God is doing right now is being calling us back to a simplicity of undistracted devotion to Jesus. We can get distracted. Even with some really good Christian stuff, it can be a distraction. I mean, I love self-help books. I've got a million of them. I just love them because they tell me what to do. And then after a few months, it doesn't work. But that has become a distraction for me. Are self-help books good? They can be, absolutely. But sometimes I don't need 10 steps. Sometimes I just need Jesus. Sometimes I do need 10 steps. Absolutely. I believe in both. And I know there's a lot of controversy right now, it seems like, over that. I believe in both. But I do believe that some things can become a distraction. Some good things can become a distraction. Even in churches, we can get so caught up in having, you know, men's ministry, women's ministry. Oh, we need a children's ministry, and we need this ministry and this ministry. And, you know, good things can be a distraction as well. But the world is looking for solutions, and I believe that we have access to the secret places of God when we are in Christ. And it's his pleasure to reveal those things for us, and it's up to us to make those withdrawals. We need to make the withdrawal. We need to focus in on him so that we can be Jesus to this world and display his glory, because that's what they need. That's what they want. And so we just need to seek to expand our capacity to abide in him and to be filled with the fullness of Jesus, because he has the Spirit without limit. And that's what we have. That's what we have access to now. All that I have is yours. So we need to inherit the lifestyle that Jesus had by faith. We need to step into a place that's amazing, that's victorious, that's full. That's the greater works. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So it's a yes. It's a yes to him and all that he has. It was funny, I think it was a CD or something, and they read the scripture, and I was like, Mom, did you hear that? He said everything. We can ask for anything, and God will give it to us. I was like, yeah, but he goes, no, Mom, anything. You know, the simplicity of a child. But in the end, you know, what God is calling us to through abiding him, in him, is stepping out into a greater reality of who he is. It's stepping out into soaring like eagles, to walking on water. It's time to come into our inheritance and move into a space that Jesus died to make available to us. His reality is amazing. And that's why I believe we need to be abiding in him, in his reality, which is above what we see here on earth. Amen. All right.
Dude, I feel like we could play this message for the next 3 to 6 weeks, and it would just be equally, it would be rich. Not that, I mean, that rich too, but rich. Like, it'd be really, really good. I was just compelled to just pray for you and to, like, release you into the things that the very things that are coming out of your mouth. Does that make sense? Is that cool, guys? Is that okay? All right. So let's all agree. Lord, I just thank you for our mother, our sister, our friend, our leader. And I just thank you for the reality, Father, of the things that you're revealing to her, Lord. And I know confidently that you do not make these things real. You do not illuminate these things in the human heart without that person undergoing some amazing change and amazing transformation and without seeing much fruit in their life. So, Lord, I just thank you, God, for your grace coming upon her and her words, the very words that came out of her mouth, Lord, that these things would take full effect in her right now in Jesus' name. I just sense that you are in an amazing place. Like you're right on the cusp of something really, really, really amazing. And I love how he's already showing you that the fruits that you've always looked for are not coming about by the ways that you would have expected. But they're coming about from a very inside-out process of just knowing the truth. Of just knowing the truth. Oh, Lord, you're magnificent in your wisdom and your ways. So don't be surprised if there's like this excitement that begins to come over you. If even those chills and emotions actually come in the process as you're just spending time in these truths, because when they become real to you, it is never underwhelming. Like you said, it is overwhelming. So Lord, overwhelm her, God. We just thank you for wave after wave of your goodness and your truth on her life, God, so much that it fills her heart to overflow. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will find yourself speaking like you've never spoken before. You'll see words coming out of your mouth. You're like, oh my gosh, I just said that. Without even thinking about it beforehand or trying, it came out of me naturally, because the supernatural is now natural to the person that is in the spirit, to the son, to the daughter. Lord, I thank you in advance for the work that you want to do through Sarah, God. And we just agree as a body, as her brothers and sisters, as her family here at Living Word, in Jesus' name, we release her in these things. Be released in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I just wanted to share something real quick as you were talking about abiding and stepping into him. And a while back, I was thinking about, you know, the armor of God and putting on the armor of God every day. And I thought, okay, but it's all Jesus. So Jesus, if I just step into you, then I've got the full armor on. You are my armor. And the picture that I saw was Jesus standing behind me with his arms out, and all I did was just take a step back into him to be clothed in Christ. And so that's kind of how I view that, is that today I step into you. I clothe myself with you.
That's it. All right, I just remembered I had a prophetic word for you, Rich. I saw you climbing a mountain, and you were just going up and up. It was a massive mountain, snow-peaked, and you had a backpack on, and you were just going, and you were tired. And you were just, but you were going, one step in front of the other, in front of the other. And you were more than halfway up, but you were getting tired, and so you were just sitting there, just standing there, just kind of resting. And then suddenly, there was a red race car next to you. You get in the race car and you start zooming up the mountain. It reminded me of the Pikes Peak race, where they race up the mountain in, I don't know, some type of race car. And as you were going up the mountain, that's what it looked like. There was steep drop-offs. There were all kinds of crazy stuff, sharp turns, hairpin bends, and you were going, I don't know how many miles an hour, but you just were going, and there was no fear. You just were going, going, going. And I just felt like the Lord said he's bringing you into a season of acceleration. And that's it. All right. Anybody else have a word or anything?
I just want to say that this is my vision come true, is to see the interchange in the body of Christ that's going on here. This is what 20 years ago, when we planted this thing in Golden, Colorado, it was like 1 Corinthians 14, everyone has this, this, and this, and we all share, and that's where the power of God is, and that's where the reality of being in him and being like him comes. because it's so true. I remember my last trip to Israel was so full of warfare that I was very, very depressed. And I just kept praying and praying and praying. And finally I woke up one morning and the Lord says, come walk on the water with me. I'm in you and you're in me, so you can walk on the water. I don't know what that means to my friend back here, but all of a sudden I had peace like I never had peace before. I was ready to face anything, to do anything, to go anywhere, to do whatever he wanted me to do, with whomever he wanted me to do it with, or without anyone, you know, even by myself. And so when I'm by myself, I'm never by myself, because he's there and he's in me and he dwells with me. And I just want to say that I'm writing a new book called The One New Man Creation, because he created in us, all of us, Jew and Gentile, whatever, he created that one new man in us, and that one new man is Jesus Christ, and that's who we are, and that's who we're going to be like, and I'm waiting for that manifestation, but I'm not waiting anymore, I'm believing it. And in my research in this book, I've had to do a lot of research on Abraham and the father of a multitude of nations, not just, you know, not just Israel and the 12 tribes and us. It's a multitude of nations. And so as I was studying this, I read, and I've read this many times, it said, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. If he believed God and we believe Jesus, we have greater place of righteousness than he did. But yet, look at what happened to him. He could look at now and say, okay, I can see the multitude of nations now. But believing God is really faith and trust, because when we believe, when Abraham believed God, God said, do this, and he did that. Go sacrifice your son. He believed God, so he went and did it. You know, he went and he did, he took the act to do what God told him to do. And when we act what God tells us to do, it will come to pass. And I've learned that over the last few years of ministering in Israel and just traveling and traveling and traveling. I'm so tired I could just sleep and lay down and rest right now, but I rested all night, so I shouldn't be tired, but I am. Anyway, God bless you. Love you guys. Thank you.
All right, let's just pray. Lord, we thank you. Pray, Lord, that you would just continue to reveal truth to us this week, Lord, that as we spend time with you, as we spend time in you, and you and us, Lord, that you would minister to us spirit to spirit, and Lord, that you would just continue to open up the mysteries of all that we have in you to us, Lord, so that we can be astonished, and we can be astonishing in this world to those around us. So, Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.